The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter number 9, text number 48, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 19th, 2013, in North Sydney, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Kim Dirapam Mai Prite Tatapi Vibhudha Rishabha Mai Ekanta Mati Na Anyat Mata Vanchati Tatvavit Kim Dirapam Mayi Prite Tatapi Vidubarshana Maye Kanta Matir Nanyang Mato Banchati Tatvavit King Dirapam Mayi Prite Tatapi Vidudarshabha Maye Kanta Matir Nanyan Mato Banchati Tatvavit Kim What? Dirapam. Difficult to obtain. Mayi. When I. Prite. Satisfied. Tatapi. Still. Vibhudha. Rishabha. O best of the intelligent demigods. Mayi. In me. Ekanta, exclusively fixed. Mati, whose attention, na anyat, not anything other. Mata, than me. Vanshati, desires. Tatvavit, one who knows the truth. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O best of the intelligent demigods, although it is true that nothing is difficult for one to obtain when I am pleased with him, a pure devotee whose mind is exclusively fixed upon me does not ask me for anything but the opportunity to engage in devotional service. Purport. When the demigods finished offering their prayers, they anxiously waited for their enemy Vritrasura to be killed. This means that the demigods are not pure devotees. Although without difficulty one can get anything he desires if the Lord is pleased, the demigods aspire for material profit by pleasing the Lord. The Lord wanted the demigods to pray for unalloyed devotional service, but instead they prayed for an opportunity to kill their enemy. This is the difference between a pure devotee and a devotee on the material platform. Indirectly, the Lord regretted that the demigod did not ask for pure devotional service. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gudun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganditam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakon Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desha Tarine. So, there are two types of devotees. Sakama, the ones who have desires to fulfill, and the akama bhaktas, the ones who have no desire to fulfill. Why is it that most people are sakama bhaktas? Those who are God conscious in the world, 99.9999% are sakama bhaktas. Why is this, you see? Actually, it's due to improper education. It's actually foolish being a sakama bhakta. It's like going to a millionaire and begging 25 cents from a millionaire, you see. When you approach God, why ask for some broken pieces of glass when you can get the rarest gem? This is intelligence. The rarest gem is bhakti. There is no material benediction which compares in any way with bhakti. Even if we went all the way through pious activities and achieved the post of Brahmaji, the chief demigod of this entire material world, that is nothing compared to bhakti. You understand? So to be a sakama bhakta, desire like these demigods, is foolishness. It's idiocy. It's lunacy. It's very, 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 very stupid thing to do. Krishna confirms, Bhagavad Gita 9:22, Ananya chincha yashto yam yejana paryapasate tesham nichabhiyukta nam yogachemam vaham yaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Prabhupada very wonderfully explained that verse. He said, Krishna will personally deliver to your door whatever you need. Wow, it's pretty amazing. Krishna becomes your personal DHL man, you see. Whatever you need, he gives it to you. You can't be lacking in anything. If you're a pure devotee, a sakama, an akama bhakta, you can never be lacking in anything spiritually or materially. Whatever you need to go on engaging in pure devotional service, Krishna will personally give it to you. That's what Krishna guarantees in the Gita. So do we need anything besides pure devotional service to be happy? Do we need anything besides pure devotional service to be happy? Absolutely not. Therefore, to go to approach the Lord, give me this, give me that, you see. It's crazy. Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. You see, doesn't make any sense. Making fun of the Hindus, but the Christians, the Muslims, the Jews, everyone in the same foolishness. When I was a kid, my parents trained me. They said, little Stevie, what do you want for Christmas? I said, well, I like some cowboy boots. So they said, little Stevie, then you should pray every night to God that you will get cowboy boots for Christmas. And sure enough, on Christmas morning, what was under the tree but the cowboy boots? You see? And that's how I was trained. God is where you go for the things you want, you see? I mean, it's just, it's disgusting, actually. It's disgusting. In the whole material world, is going on. This is their so-called religion. No wonder people are becoming atheists and agnostics. I mean, it's just, what they're doing is they're bastardizing religion. They're just spoiling it with all this, you know, gimme, 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 gimme stuff. It's just ridiculous. There is nothing in this material world which can bring any true satisfaction to the self. Absolutely nothing. So why are they asking God for all this junk? It's crazy. It's like being in the prison, instead of thinking how to get out of the prison, how to have, you know, can you give me an extra blanket here in my prison cell, you see? What's the advantage of having a little better facility in the prison? Get out of the prison. That is intelligence, you see. But these so-called rabbis, priests, yogis, gurus, etc., they teach people to approach God to get more material facility for themselves. Rupa Goswami clearly describes pure bhakti. Sarvapadiva nirmuktam tatpadadvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanim bhaktar uchate. Give up all material designations. Sarvapadiva nirmuktam tatpadadvena nirmalam. Become completely free of all material desires. You see, become restored in your original pure identity, in which you engage your senses, Rishik, in the service of Rishikesha, the master of the senses. That is devotional service. You cannot understand God unless you come to this position of pure bhakti. You cannot understand God with your, as long as you have your material desires, your understanding of God will be blocked. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevon Mukehi Jivado Svayam Eva Spuradyadaha. Absolutely nobody can understand God with their blunt, materially contaminated senses. It's not possible. You can't understand his name, his fame, his pastime, his entourage, his paraphernalia, his teaching, his dumb. Nothing about Krishna can you understand as long as your senses are blunt and materially contaminated by material desires. Impossible. Absolutely impossible. You will never do it. But when you become Krishnaized or spiritualized or transcendentalized by engaging your senses, adau jivado, Rupa Goswami says, beginning with the tongue. If you will engage your senses, beginning with the tongue, in the service of Krishna, then everything about the Lord will be revealed fully to you, his name, his fame, his forms, his pastimes. You will directly see God, actually. You will come to the point where you can directly see Krishna standing in front of you. You simply have to give up approaching him for your own selfish desires and simply approach him for one purpose and one purpose only. My dear Lord, please bless me that I can fully surrender myself unto you. Please liberate me from all these material desires which have cruelly kept me entangled in birth, death, old age and disease, adi-atmic, adi-bodhic, adi-daivic misery, the seven whips is described in Krishna book also were there. Please get me out of this horrible position of suffering in this material world by defying your supremacy, thinking that I am the supreme. See? What is the root cause of people approaching God as a kama bhakta? Give me this, give me that. They think they're superior to God. They think God should serve them. You understand? If you don't give me what I want, Lord, I'll teach you a good lesson and I'll become an atheist. You see? I've come to the temple of my Lord. I bowed down to you many times and I wanted that new house and I didn't get it. So I'll teach you. I'm not going to go to the temple anymore because I didn't get that new house I wanted. You see the mentality? How ridiculous it is? It's disgusting mentality. And this is what the gurus, swamis, preachers, priests, etc. are training the people. It's just a horrible situation in the Kali Yuga. Religion is practically dead. There's practically no religion because of these bogus teachers spoiling people, teaching them this nonsense. So this Krishna consciousness movement is the vital necessity for the human society to bring them out of this madness of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, and bring them to the actual platform where one can connect with the Supreme Person in loving service. I tell you right now, there's no other hope in society. This movement is the only hope for the human society. Do you understand this? This is the only hope for the human society. You must be convinced that this movement is the only hope for the human society. Because where else is it being taught perfectly and scientifically except by Srila Prabhupada? The science of pure bhakti. Where else is it being taught purely scientifically? The science of pure bhakti besides Srila Prabhupada. Where is it? Only pure Prabhupada and those who are purely presenting Prabhupada's teachings. That's the only place you can get him. The only place you can get him. Therefore, distributing, flooding this world with Prabhupada's books is the urgent necessity right now for the human society. Flooding this planet with Prabhupada's books. It's the only hope of the human society. Because without this knowledge, they're going on lifetime after lifetime. It's pitiful. It's pathetic. What they're doing right now. And therefore, this superficial so-called religion, whether you call it Christianity, Hinduism, Judaism, whatever you call it, of approaching God to fulfill your material desires, it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't satisfy the self, as confirmed in the Bhagavatam. Ahaitakiya pratiyata yayatma supersedati. Unless you approach the Lord free of all material motives with uninterrupted devotional service, you're not going to be satisfied by your religious practice. It's directly stated in the first canon of the Bhagavatam. You will not be satisfied. Therefore, people are giving up religion completely, becoming atheists. You see, they're running after the big, big so-called scientists, the big, big dogmatists, like Dr. Stephen Hawking, who says that now science has reached the ultimate breakthrough of knowledge. Now we have understood that everything comes out of absolutely nothing. And people are running after this. Oh yes, this is great. It's actually just Buddhism. It's all Buddhist philosophy. Buddhist philosophy, it all really is. Nothing new. It's an old philosophy, been around a long time. But they want to take credit. We have discovered this. It's our great breakthrough of modern science. We have now discovered and proved scientific. It's just speculation. So people are it's becoming very fashionable to become atheist, to give up religion completely, because these rascals, so-called teachers, have not given the proper understanding of religion. Therefore, be rejecting religion, you see. So we have to understand the necessity of this. And it's so wonderful, the results you get, actually, when you seriously take up Krishna consciousness. Selfless service to the Supreme Lord without any material desires. It's so wonderful. Prabhupada wrote me a letter one time about what is pure devotional service. He says, no karma, no yoga, no jnana, all material desires, zero. Prabhupada told me. So, Prabhus, we have a lot of house cleaning to do. Yeah. lot of house cleaning to do. These hearts are very, very filthy. That's a fib. Our hearts are filthy like anything. And so many material desires. Dirty, dirty, dirty hearts. That's a fib. So we really have to do our work. Purify ourselves. So we can be what Prabhupada wants us to be, pure bhaktas. He wants us to become uttamadhikaris, pure devotees of the Lord, spotless Vaishnavas, paramahamsas. That's what Prabhupada wants. So we have to seriously cultivate this mood of pure bhakti. And there's a special mantra for that. You know that mantra? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Prabhupada told some Japanese boys, I love this letter, I found it, I often explore the Veda base, you know, answering the questions people ask me. I get 15,000 people, actually 15,906 people in my e-course, and they ask me all kinds of questions. I often have to do research in the Veda base, you know, to find answers, get Prabhupada's help for all these questions people ask me. And so I go through the Veda base a lot, you know, as a regular daily, practically every day I'm going through the Veda base. And I found the most amazing letter one time when I was in Vrindavan. Prabhupada told some Japanese boys, he said, you should chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. He was saying literally. You know, it's like we say like it's some poetic metaphor or something, you know, you should always chant. But he was telling them directly, you should always chant. So when you're taking your shower, when you're taking a bath, you should chant Hare Krishna. When you're walking down the street, you should chant Hare Krishna. When you're riding the bus, you should chant Hare Krishna. You should talk about actually vibrating your lips, you know. And when you're doing something with your hands, you should chant Hare Krishna. You know. He was telling him to keep the mantra going constantly. And I was thinking, well, the mind was kind of resisting this idea. I was thinking, maybe I should try this, you know. Wow, usually I just chant my rounds and I just put the beads down. Okay, I'm done with my chanting for the day. Now it's time to space out the rest of the day. Let the mind space out, right? So I was thinking, maybe I should really check this out. You know, this could be a new dimension of Krishna consciousness. Start throwing mantras here, mantras there throughout the whole day, you know. Just keep throwing more mantras into my daily routine. But the mind was saying, no, Sankarshan Das, wait a minute. You know, you got your round done. Let's not get carried away here. Don't become a fanatic now. I mean, come on, Sankarshan Das. The mind was complaining, you know. Don't you dare think about this. I enjoy my space out time. Now, don't you rein me in now with more mantras. And see, the mind was objecting. But I was saying, now, come on, mind. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So, I had to admit, I didn't fully master being able to go 24 hours a day, you know, but I did chant. And since then, I do chant more than I used to, you know, besides my 16 rounds. And I find the more you actually throw it in, you know, it's not difficult when you're in the shower, instead of just spacing out, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You know, you can chant while you're showering, when you're shaving. Brushing your teeth is a little tricky because you get the, you know. But you can actually do it while you're walking down the street, while you're, you know, riding the bus. Just throw some extra mantras in. When you're coming down the steps on the way to the temple room, you can chant a couple of maha mantras right then. You know what I'm saying? Just try adding it to your day and see what happens to your consciousness. A mantra here, a mantra there, it really adds up. You know, because Prabhupada said, I actually tested one of my disciples. I was in the airport a couple of days ago. I'm getting ready to come to Sydney from Johannesburg. There was my disciple, Padre Sevan, a very wonderful devotee from Pretoria, South Africa. Said, oh, how much Hare Krishna are you supposed to chant every day? He said, 16 rounds. I said, I caught you. At least 16 rounds, you see. I caught you. You're thinking 16 rounds is what I have to do every day, you see. No. At least 16 rounds. So, well, how do you do it? I may not have time to sit with my beads extra, but I can, you know, I can throw a mantras in here and the mantras there. while I'm doing other things, I can be doing in the Maha Mantra. So all these little things that we can do that, you know, to conquer the mind's tendency to roam willy-nilly in the so-called land of material pleasure, which is nothing but material misery. Anything we can do to, you know, bring the mind away from that hallucinatory consciousness, in which I actually think I'm the center of the universe, you see. That is very beneficial and powerful. So we recommend that try some extra mantras. You know, one or two Hare Krishnas won't hurt you. You know what I mean? That you wouldn't normally do. Just throw some extra mantras into your day. It's amazing how they add up. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Every time you chant Hare Krishna, actually you're invoking the presence of Krishna. Do you know that? Krishna is His name. His name is He Himself. So every time you chant Hare Krishna, you're actually invoking the presence of Krishna. You're directly associating with God. Just like the Vrijabhasis directly associate with God, you can directly associate with God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You may say, well, that sounds like imagination to me. I mean, it sounds pretty unbelievable that you could just associate with God by chanting Hare Krishna. But I guarantee you, if you will chant Hare Krishna with faith and devotion, that day you will actually realize, not just theoretically, but you will practically experience that you're directly associating with Krishna. That's it. When you utter His name. That day will come. Right now we're neophytes. It's practically just a theoretical thing for us right now. But if we keep chanting, that day will come. We'll realize, actually, I'm here with Krishna in His transcendental pastimes. And this whole material thing was just some kind of a dream that I had. That I was this, I was that. Just comes kind of a dream state. I'll actually experience by chanting Hare Krishna, now I am back with Krishna in His eternal pastimes in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, you know what Prabhupada uttered at the time of death? Krish. And then he was right in the middle of Krishna and he left his body. He went, Krish, and then he departed. He must have said no after he left his body. You see, in his spiritual form, he must have gone, nah. It actually left the material. But the growth here on this plane, Krish, and then poof, right in the middle of Krishna, he departed. So the more we can habituate ourselves to call out the Lord's name with love, you see, that will guarantee our safe passage to His transcendental abode upon leaving this body. And that abode is pretty wonderful, you know. The more you hear about it, the more you hear about what Krishna is doing there, the more you become attracted. I mean, it's pretty, really amazing place, you see. Chintamani prakara sadma sukalpa vriksha laksha vrateshu shurabira vipalayantam Lakshmi sahasra shata sambrahma sevyamanam govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows in abodes built with spiritual gems. Wow. For me, a blazing place built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees. Those trees will fulfill all desires. Whatever desire you have, the tree will fulfill that desire. Pretty amazing trees, kalpa vriksha trees. And always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. Just imagine going to sleep and waking up in that place. You see? And then Brahmaji continues in his beautiful prayers, Venum kvanantamara vindadalaya taksam Bharhavatam samasitam buddhasundarangam Kandarpakoti kamaniya visheshashobam Govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept at playing his flute, with blooming eyes like lotus petals, head decked with a peacock's feather, with the figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and whose unique loveliness is charming millions of cupids. If you start to hear about Krishna and his transcendental activities in the transcendental kingdom, the way he dresses himself, the way he calls out the names of the cows, he knows he has millions of cows, but each of them has a name, and he knows all of their names. And they all have an affectionate feeling towards Krishna. It's like he hugs the gopis, he hugs the calf also. He's not partial that, oh, I just hug gopis. He hugs the little calf also, you see. So Krishna's love is unlimited, unrestricted. And he is simply waiting for us to come out of our selfish, psychotic condition in which we don't give our love to him. He's waiting for us to come out of it and come back to our original position. So this is our Krishna consciousness movement. How to become perfect in your thoughts, words, and deeds in all times, places, and circumstances by dovetailing everything with the pleasure of that amazing person who's standing on the bank of the Jamuna River, playing the fifth note on his flute, wearing a yellow dhoti and a head bedecked with a peacock's feather, on the beautiful full moon night of the Sharad season. So I can ask now if there's any questions. How can you deal with Christian people who say that Jesus is the only way? We agree with them. Yes, Prabhupada said, I just read this morning in the Vedabase, Prabhupada said, yes, he is the only way. So we agree with you. Completely. That's why we've devoted ourselves to that pathway taught by him, pure devotional service. Yes, we completely agree with you. I gave a presentation at a Christian church one time, and I just glorified Jesus like anything. He is our guru, he is our savior, he's the son of God. Praise Jesus. You know that word beef in English, it also means a complaint. English word beef. So I said, but with you, at the end of my presentation, they all had big smiles on the faces. They just go, ah, oh, in bliss. I glorified Jesus this way and that way in so many ways. And I finally said, but with you all, we have a beef. Pause. And that is the beef. You're eating meat. And Christ says, thou shalt not kill. And they didn't mind it because I glorified Jesus so much they were all mellowed out. And then, because I said it in a poetic way, you know, not like a, you know, a little. You could Prabhupada said if you present it with the best descriptive language, you can even convince an atheist. So you have to learn how to use in a very poetic, cool, you know, verbally cool way to say things. People go, everybody appreciates poetic things, sings things poetically. So even because I told them poetically that you guys are really off the track, they didn't mind. I glorified Jesus, and they had no complaints. Nobody got angry. They were all smiling, and they said, we really loved your presentation. I don't know how many of them gave up eating meat, but at least, you know, they appreciated what I said. So you have to be very tactful and friendly. I mean, you know, these people have a personal conception of God. they actually worship a great pure devotee. The Prabhupada glorified is a very, very advanced pure devotee of the Lord. So we have no beef with them over their devotion to Lord Jesus. Our only beef is really the beef. So we should treat them like our friends, not our enemies. Some Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on our door one while back, and you know, we didn't really buy their philosophy at all. But instead of arguing with them, I said, "It's really great. I'm so happy to see you're dedicating yourself to go door to door. I mean, that's not easy, going door to door teaching God." You said, "I really appreciate what you all are doing. It's a wonderful thing. You're out door to door preaching about God. That's wonderful. Thank you very much for your dedication to glorify God and help bring other people to God consciousness." And that way, instead of arguing with them, you could say, "We have a slightly different way of looking at it, but we really appreciate what you're doing." So in that way, there's no sense fighting with them and, you know, and causing them to be blasphemous, you know, "Krishna's the devil." You know, there's no point in doing that. It's better to make friends with them and point out there is a difference. So they understand that, you know, we are against meat eating, and that Christ, the Bible does that, "Thou shalt not kill." So how you can? Prabhupada actually said that if they eat the animals that died naturally, it's okay. If you don't kill them, he said, all the animals, the cows they're killing, they're going to die naturally in a few years anyway. So let them die naturally, and then eat them. Then there's no sin. You see, it's that killing is the problem. We don't mind if they eat the flesh. But don't kill the creature, you see. Even the Quran, even actually Muhammad, the Quran says that they're all just like people. These creatures are all just like human beings. And Prophet Muhammad, he said, you should not maim the animals, the creatures. So this is a higher understanding. This is the proper understanding of all the scriptures of the world, to be very kind to all of God's creatures. But just as the Vedas give some concession for meat eaters, they can offer a goat to goddess Kali. They have made some concessionary program to eat meat, but that's for low-class people who don't understand the essence of religion. Under restriction, you see. It's like in the Old Testament, there's the kosher, you know, concept. Under certain restriction, you can eat meat. The Muslims, under certain restriction, you can eat meat. But that is not to encourage meat eating, that's to discourage meat eating, actually. The essence of all scriptures is to become a lover of God who must necessarily, therefore, respect all of God's creatures. So there's some points to consider, yeah.
But how can we understand for ourselves that Jesus is the only way?
Because Jesus is teaching the path of bhakti, and that is the only way. That he was the only preacher of pure bhakti at that time in Israel, so for them, he was the only way. You see? That was literally true that in that area. At that time, he was the only one teaching pure bhakti, so he was the only guru at that time in that place. But it's not that universally he's the only way. That's a time and place understanding. But his way is his way of pure bhakti is indeed the only way. If you understand in that way, we can completely agree. You can take it as a time and place instruction, or you can take it as a universal teaching. You can see the truth of it in either way. But in my own case, I actually came to this movement inspired by Jesus. So actually, Jesus brought me to this movement in that sense. I was looking for spiritual perfection. Having been raised as a Christian, I had faith that Lord Jesus was a pure soul. So what is the secret then? I was trying to figure out from the New Testament as to how one can become spiritually perfect. So I was studying Lord Jesus' teachings to see how I can become spiritually perfect. And then one day I found it. Christ says, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." I said, "Yes, that is it. You have to just surrender to whatever God wants you to do. Forget what you want. do whatever God wants. So the next question is, well, what does God want me to do? And that answer was given by His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj. Prabhupada's disciple came to our town. From him I actually learned what God wants, you see. So actually, Jesus taught me I have to surrender to God. And I said, okay, I'm ready. What to do? So actually, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, Hare Krishna. So, hey, brother, all glories to Jesus. I have no problem. You're a Baptist Christian, I'm a Hare Krishna Christian. Different kinds of Christians. There's Catholics, Baptists, Methodists. I'm a Hare Krishna Christian. I can tell them that. Not hype, it's true. It's true. To me, Jesus is a very special soul. He's very... I have definitely feelings of love and affection for Lord Jesus. He's a great hero for me. I have to become like Jesus more and more. I want to become like Jesus. Pure devotee of the Lord, that's my goal. I want to become like Jesus. Pure devotee. Prabhupada glorified him again and again and again. It's pure devotee. Any other questions? Okay, very good. As we progress in chanting Hare Krishna, is there any real benefit in reducing the time taken to chant one room? No, you don't have to reduce the time chant one round. Although it for me it's happened naturally over the years. Just by doing anything, you become more expert at it. Now I'm able to manipulate my tongue much more precisely. It's easier with time. It naturally sped up over the years. Prabhupada did say if you were practiced, you could chant around in 5 minutes. He told the devotees in the very beginning that. You can read that in Hayagriva Prabhu's book, The Hare Krishna Explosion. Prabhupada said if you with practice, you can chant around in 5 minutes. You see, so not that you have to try to speed up your rounds, but actually over the years, I mean, I've been chanting for 43 years. I've found that it naturally sped up. Not that I tried to force it to speed up, but it just naturally happened. So the standard thing is 2 hours. Now, probably many times it's 2 hours of chanting rounds. That's 7.5 minutes. So that's a standard. That's a standard. As you start off, you should think, well, 2 hours from around 7.5 minutes. You can gauge yourself by them. For a new devotee, that's a very good benchmark. But after 40 years, you may find you're chanting them faster and with even more focus than you did when you're chanting them slower. So it's like that. Okay. Is asking Krishna to get rid of anartas and bad qualities, ignorance, material desires, and... No, it's not at all selfish. That's very good. We should pray to Krishna, please make me a pure devotee. Help me get all this dirt out of my heart. That's all pure devotion. That is pure devotion. That's very good. How can we achieve a kama bhakti? First of all, desire it. It's your only desire. From now on, I have one desire in life only, and that's to achieve pure bhakti, a kama bhakti. Just make that your focus now. I hereby give up all desires other than developing pure devotional service. And Krishna bless me that I can remain fixed in this for all of eternity. Pray that way. And, you know, by your own composed prayers you offer to the Lord, and then that mood can enter into your japa as well. You mentioned that 99.9% of God-conscious people are Sukama Bhakta, so how do a fortunate few attain the seriousness and necessary greed to serve God exclusively? By associating with those who are Akama Bhakta, the Sukamas can become Akamas. Therefore, preaching is essential. Therefore, we must ourselves cultivate a Akama mood. We must find those devotees in our movement who have the Akama mood. We should take shelter of them and serve the devotees, the Akama Bhaktas within ISKCON. And then we should ourselves become Akama Bhaktas and preach like anything to everybody we meet so the whole world can come to Akama Bhakti. The way our body gets illness and gets damaged, does our spirit soul get damaged ever? There are some similarities. Just as by eating the remnants of somebody who has tuberculosis, you can catch tuberculosis. Your body can become diseased by being in contact with persons who have diseased bodies. In the same way, by being in contact with pure devotees, you get that disease called pure devotion. So there are some similarities there. And if it does happen, and if it does, what happens? And how does it heal? Or that particular spirit vanishes forever? Oh, they're looking at the negative side. Yeah. Yeah, if you associate with non-devotees, just like if you associate with whoremongers, you become a whoremonger, you see. If you associate with persons who have material consciousness, that will poison you. And how does it heal? Well, bad association poisons you and good association cures you. That particular spirit vanishes forever. There's no such thing as any spirit ever vanishing forever. Every spirit lives forever, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2.12. Natve vahang, natve vehang, jatu nasam, natang neme janadipa, nachaiva namavisharvam, sarvimayamatahaparam. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Any of you or them or us, it's all the same principle. So Krishna guarantees no soul ever vanishes, although they appear to vanish, becoming lost in the material energy. Sometimes he said these great personalities, they vanished into oblivion. It's not that they're dead and gone. Like, where's Napoleon now? He has vanished into oblivion. Perhaps he's a rat circumambulating the Eiffel Tower. You see? No one... He's still there, but he's not recognized anymore, you see. So it's not that anybody ever vanishes into the void, but they do vanish into not being known anymore. See, there's all these big superstars in the material world, but you know what? You were a superstar. Everybody, as they say, every dog has its day. So according to the laws of karma, sometimes we're a superstar. You know, we're a big famous author, a big famous musician, big famous athlete, a big famous politician. Everybody, you've all been big famous people, just like the Beatles were big or Bob Dylan. Every one of you was a big celebrity at one time. Some famous big celebrity. We were all big celebrities. And then we were lepers begging in the street. You know, according to karma, we go up and down in all kinds of positions. So instead of being caught up in this drama where we take on so many roles, we have to realize this: I have nothing to do with this drama of material existence. I'm just an eternal spiritual being, somehow sidetracked away from my actual identity, lured by Maya's false promise of that you can be God. Just come with me, my lad, and you can be God. You see? So we have to hear from Prabhupada and come out of this madness of material consciousness. So we're a little over time. I don't want to go any further over time. Everybody has a schedule. I don't want to mess up your schedule. So we thank you all very, very much for coming today and for being so enthusiastic to hear and to chant, etc., etc. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Srimad Sankarsan Das Adhikari Maharaj ki jai.